The following is a Sunday feast lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on April 6, 2003 in Mumbai, India.
Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha.
Hare Krishna. I thank you for coming today to Sri Radha Gopinath's Sunday festival. Lord Chaitanya prays, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kabitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janamani janamaneshwari bhavatad bhaktir ahoyit kitvaya. He does not want anything for his selfish interests, neither wealth, enjoyments of the facilities of this world, fame, follower, prestige, position, or liberation. His prayer is for service. What the Lord is teaching us in this prayer is that there is no greater achievement that anyone can ever acquire than the opportunity to serve. In order to follow the path of the great souls, there must be determination. Our beloved acharyas define determination in various ways. One important factor related to determination is to understand that we maintain our spiritual integrity even in the face of temptation and difficulty. Obstacles must come before us in this world. Sometimes those obstacles are very difficult obstructions. Failing health, miserable weather, unfavorable condemnation by people around us. A devotee must maintain determination to pursue his or her spiritual integrity even in the face of such difficulties. Other great obstacles are temptations. Sometimes we are offered very, very pleasing opportunities for physical comfort and enjoyment, or even more than that, for a high position, for the prestige and glorification of others. A devotee must be determined to withstand even those onslaughts and maintain their integrity. What is our integrity? Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das Das Anudas. That we're honestly and earnestly striving to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, and to maintain the purity of that desire under all circumstances. It is not easy. Vyabhishayat makabudhir eke hakurunandana bahushakat hirantascha budhayo vyabhishayana. But those who are on this path, Krishna says, they are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. That means they are determined to maintain the standards that Krishna has given to us to live by under all circumstances. And these standards are both our external behavior and our internal aspirations. Maya is so strong.
this illusory energy, either in gross or subtle ways, is trying to somehow or other divert every one of our devotees' attention away from the real goal. That is her business. We must be aware of that and on guard. And actually, she will provide diversions which will be perfectly justifiable by the populace and especially by our own minds. In such onslaught, we must maintain the dignity of our aspiration. Today, just about an hour ago, His Grace Govinda Prabhu, one of our very leading brahmacharis of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, I see he's writing this down also. He came to my room and I asked, what should I speak today? Because I was very busy all morning. He said, speak something about Ram Leela, because Ram Navami is coming very soon. Ram Leela is a very vast topic. And I was very busy. I had no time to think which of these vast sections of the vast topic I should speak. So he said, speak on Bharat and his devotion to Ram. For a few minutes, I would like to share with you how this great personality in the role of a devotee demonstrated such exemplary spiritual integrity, even in difficult situations and the most incredible temptations that a man could possibly be confronted with. We know the story that Bharat and Shatrughna, they went to their maternal grandfather's house and maternal uncle. While they were away, Dasarath decided to coronate Sri Ramchandra as the king, or as the prince regent of Ayodhya. Kaikeyi, deceived by the wicked-minded, hunchbacked maidservant, Mantara, convinced her husband, Dasarath, to banish Ram to the forest for 14 years and coronate her son, Bharat, as the crown prince. The great tragedy of that story is told in Sri Ramayana. After Ram, Sita, and Lakshman left for the Dandakaranya forest, Dasarath could not maintain his life. In the pangs of ecstatic separation, he gave up his life force. The head priest, Vasishtha Muni, brought messengers and told them, go to the city of the king of Kekaya, inform Bharat that everyone here is well, that we are all in good health, but an emergency has arisen. He must return immediately. Bharat had a mysterious dream that same night, where he saw his father, Dasarath, with his hair disheveled, falling from the peak of a huge mountain into a pool of cow dung, swimming around in that cow dung, Then he was dressed in black. And there were many, many inauspicious scenes taking place within that dream. Bharat was overcome with grief. He was woken up, and soon the messengers arrived. He went to his maternal grandfather, and then his uncle Yudhajit, and begged their blessings and permission to return to Ayodhya. On his chariot, which was ornamented with the flag that carried the insignia of a beautiful tree, he entered into the outskirts of the great capital of the kingdom. He saw something that shook his heart. Ayodhya seemed like it was desolate. He saw wolves howling, dogs barking. There were no Brahmins performing yajnas. In the Treta Yuga, this was the Yuga Dharma, performing yajna. Just as we are doing Harinam Sankirtan day and night, in the Treta Yuga, the Brahmins would be continuously performing yajna. There was no sacred fires. There was no chanting of any mantras. And generally, the citizens of Ayodhya were in big crowds in the streets every morning and throughout the day, singing the glories of Sri Ram and talking amongst themselves of all the auspicious events that had taken place. There was no one in the streets that day. And he heard from various homes pitiful crying. Whatever citizens he saw, they had tears in their eyes. And the temples, even the deities in the temple were weeping. There was no flower ornamentations on the streets. In the Vedic culture, it is the custom of grihasthas to welcome God into their home every day. Therefore, they put beautiful designs in front of their front door. They put jugs full of water and flower garlands and auspicious leaves and ghee lamps deep. But on this day, every home seemed abandoned. He was confused. He went to his mother's palace. There he was expecting to see his father and mother sitting on the throne together, as they always were, to greet him whenever he was away for any length of time. The throne was empty. And where is Sri Ram and Lakshman? They always come to greet me when I am returning from a journey. He went to his mother's quarters. Kaikeyi, she looked so happy and content, sitting on her bedstead, beautifully ornamented and garmented. After greeting his mother with great respect, Bharat inquired, "Where is my father? Why has he not come?" She explained that everyone's body is temporary. According to the will of Providence, everyone must give up this temporary vessel. Your father has given up his life. Upon hearing this, Bharat, who is perfectly realized in the eternality of the soul, he understood perfectly that his father had gone to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. But the nature of a devotee is that they love the company of other devotees. And losing the association of such people who are devoted to the Lord is a great, great pain to heart. Bharat literally fell to the ground unconscious. When he came to consciousness, he was weeping in separation from his father. He said, "I am so unfortunate. But my brothers, Ram and Lakshman, they are most fortunate. They had the auspicious opportunity to perform the last rites for my father. But I am so unlucky that I was not even here to perform the last rites for the father I love and respect so much. Dear mother, this news breaks my heart, but there is only one solace that will sustain my life, that now Ram, my beloved brother, my worshipable Lord, will be coronated as the king of Ayodhya. That was surely my father's dearest heartfelt desire in life. Has it been fulfilled? Has Ram yet been coronated as king? Please tell me, mother, everything that has taken place in my absence." Kaikeyi, who was a great devotee, bewildered by evil association, had become so hard-hearted that as she saw her son weeping and crying, faltering voice and trembling, she spoke very blissfully, thinking that her news would give her son great joy. She said, "My darling son, I must tell you that Ram and Sita have entered into the forest of Dandakaranya along with Lakshman. And in separation from Ram, your father gave up his life, chanting his name." "What are you saying, mother? What crime did Ram do? Why did he go to the Dandakaranya forest? I do not understand. You tell me everything." Kaikeyi continued, "In your absence, your father Dasarath decided to coronate Sri Ram as the crown prince. But understanding that you are the true rightful heir to the throne, for your pleasure as your mother, I convinced your father on the basis of the boons he had given me in the past to exile Ram to the forest for 14 years and coronate you, Bharat, as the king of all the world. Now, my son, it is your duty. You must accept the coronation, sit on the throne, and happily rule the citizens of Ayodhya." When Bharat heard that, his heart was struck with a thunderbolt. He grieved in pain and anger simultaneously. At first, he just fell back and onto the floor. He could not believe what he had heard. Then he spoke, "On this day, I disown you. You are not my mother. You are my bitter enemy. My life and soul is dedicated to the service of Sri Ram. What terrible force of envy, hatred, and ignorance has entered your heart. I vow that you will never be satisfied to see your wicked plan fulfilled. I will go to the forest for 14 years, and Ram will return to be the king. That night, Bharat could not sleep. He wept tears of separation, guilt, and suffering all night long. The next morning, he and Shatrughna went to the palace of Kausalya. Kausalya, the mother of Lord Ram, very graciously welcomed them. They fell at her feet and affectionately she spoke these words: I bless you, Bharat. May you live as the king of Ayodhya without any enemies. May you live a long and healthy life and rule this great kingdom. But my dear Bharat, what happiness will you achieve in your life with Ram, Sita, and Lakshman living in the forest in exile? Now, Bharat, your desires have been fulfilled by your mother's arrangement. Now you can sit on the throne according to your wish. Upon hearing these desperate words, Bharat's heart cracked with pain. With folded palms and tears streaming from his eyes, he prayed to Kausalya, "Please, no. I knew nothing about this dastardly, wicked plan of my mother until I came back to Ayodhya. I knew nothing about it. I have nothing to do with it. My heart grieves as much as yours. I will never accept this throne. This throne is the rightful property of your son, Sri Ramchandra. I will go to the forest and beg and plead for him to return." When she heard his sincere words, Kausalya's heart melted. She offered all her affection to Bharat, apologized for her misunderstanding, and she blessed him. Meanwhile, Ayodhya was without a king. The chief priest, the Shishtamuni, and others approached Bharat and said, "It is necessary. We must coronate you now. There is no king. Your plan was a success. So now let us perform the rituals." Bharat vowed, "Never, ever will I accept that throne. It is the property of my lord and master, Sri Ram. Today I give the order. Let a beautiful road be constructed from Ayodhya into the Dandakaranya forest. And we will bring a great procession of all the ministers, Brahmins, the soldiers, and the citizens. We will all fall at the feet of Ram and beg him to return." This was a major project. They began the construction of a road into the jungles. And the citizens of Ayodhya, they felt a ray of hope and relief in their hearts as they all together constructed the road to Sri Ram. There was 60,000 chariots, 100,000 infantrymen, 6,000 beautiful decorated elephants, and millions of citizens. The simple servants and maidservants, the tailors and the lawyers, and the farmers, the artists, the businessmen, the bankers, they were all walking together on procession through the forest to bring Ram back to Ayodhya. They came to the forest, which was presided by the Nishada king, Guha. When Guha saw this vast army approaching, he said to his ministers that it is Bharat, I could see by the flag on top of his chariot. If he has come to cause any harm to Lord Ram, then we will fight till our death. But if he has come as a friend of Ram, then we'll give our lives, our souls, our everything to assist him. Bharat honestly revealed his heart to Maharaj Guha. He told him that I am traveling on my chariot with these sandals, the sandals of Sri Ram. And Vasishtha Muni and all the great Brahmins, they have collected the holy waters from all the holy places. We have come to coronate Ram as king and bring him back to Ayodhya, and I will remain in the forest. Maharaj Guha explained that I offered Ram my entire kingdom to live for the next 14 years. But Ram said no. I offered him to be the king. I will be his servant. My father's desire, his order, was I must live in exile. It was here that I saw with my own eyes that Ram and Lakshman matted their beautiful hair like simple ascetics of the jungles. He would only sleep on simple forest grass on the ground, along with Sita. He was dressed in tree bark, as was Sita and Lakshman. They crossed over the holy river Ganga and went in the direction of Prayag. So Maharaj Guha led them forward. When they came to Prayag, they approached the hermitage of Bharat Raj Muni, one of the great sages of the Vedic literatures. Bharat Raj Muni said to Bharat, I am not happy to see your big, big armies here. What is your plan? By your mother's will, Ram has already been exiled to the forest. You have already been given the kingdom of Ayodhya to enjoy. Why have you come with your armies? Have you come to inflict more harm on Ram? Bharat, who was as pained as anyone could be pained, was being accused by the greatest personalities in the world for this horrible deed. He explained his heart to Bharadvaj Muni. When Bharadvaj heard that it was his plan to remain in the forest for 14 years and bring Ram back, he became jubilant. He said, I welcome you, and I welcome all the citizens of Ayodhya. You spend the night with me. But there was so many millions of people, and he was living in a little straw hut right at the confluence of Ganga and Jamuna. What accommodations did he have? But being a great yogi, he used his mystic powers in the service of the Vaishnavas. This is Yukta Vairagya. He chanted some auspicious mantras, and within moments, there were palatial marble buildings, beautiful kitchens, vast quantities of foodstuffs. Within a moment, the celestial apsaras came down and started dancing. And the Gandharvas were singing. It was a glorious festival. After all the singing and dancing, there was a gigantic feast. Everyone ate the most opulent foods to their full satisfaction. Then they were all brought to beautiful palatial residences. Everyone was completely satisfied. Now, if we want to build, you see here at Radha Gopinath Temple, you hear that tch. That's been going on for a year and a half. And we're about two-thirds done with this one little building. Harivo. But Bharadvaj Muni, he created palaces for millions in a matter of moments by his mystic powers. Bharat had only one determined mission: to find Sri Ram. He asked the great sage, where is my brother? Please tell me. I must find him. He was not concerned with the palaces or the feast or the dancers. He was fixed in his determination to find Ram and surrender everything to him. Bharadvaj told Bharat that 20 miles from here, in the Dandakaranya forest, is Chitrakoot Mountain. On the northern side of Chitrakoot Mountain, at its base, facing the Mandakini Ganga River, it's the hermitage of Lord Sri Ram, who was residing with Sita and Lakshman in the association of great Brahmins and sages. He wanted a very quiet place. He explained the beauty of Chitrakoot Forest and how he will find the exact residence of Sri Ram. In the morning, the entire entourage proceeded toward Chitrakoot. Ram, Lakshman, and Sita, after taking their baths in the river, they would perform puja And then they would humbly serve the great saints that lived there and listen to the scriptures from them. Sita would pick flowers. Lakshman would collect herbs. And everything was offered for the pleasure of Lord Sri Ram. Lord Rama heard a bustling sound, the sound of armies and infantries marching. Lakshman, go to see who is approaching. Lakshman climbed the tallest sal tree in the area. From the very top he looked, and there he saw there was dust. Dust from the hooves of many horses and elephants. He looked closer, and he called down to Ram, "It is Bharat! I see the insignia on the flag from his chariot. First he has exiled you due to his greed and envy, and surely now, in fear that you will return, he has come to kill you. But he will never succeed." Bharat drew his arrows and put it to his bow, and with his eyes red as burning coals, he proclaimed that today the forest of Dandakaranya will be drenched with the blood of Bharat, Shatrughna, and all the armies of Ayodhya by my arrow. Lord Sri Ram said, "Lakshman, never speak like that. Bharat is my brother. Bharat is my friend. Bharat is always my well-wisher. He would never come to harm me. He has come out of love and friendship. Let us welcome him." Bharat told the ministers, the Brahmins, the armies, and the citizens to wait where they were. They saw the smoke from the sacrificial fire of Lord Rama's hermitage ascending into the sky with Guha, Shatrughna, and Vashishta. And Ram's sandals, they proceeded forward. When Bharat saw the hut of Ram, it simultaneously brought him pain and joy. It was constructed personally by the hands of Lakshman. It was made of leaves and twigs. And outside the opening door was the bows and the quivers of Lakshman and Ramchandra. And then he saw, sitting together, was Sita, Ram, Lakshman. He came forward and prostrated his body at the lotus feet of his beloved. Lord Sri Ram picked him up, placed him on his lap, and embraced him. As these two brothers embraced, out of the natural love of their hearts, tears streamed profusely from their eyes, literally bathing each other with love. Then Lord Rama, seeing Shatrughna, Guha, and Sumantra, the charioteer, offering obeisances, he lifted them up and embraced them. And the two brothers, Lakshman and Shatrughna, embraced affectionately. Sri Rama sat Bharat down and asked him, "Please tell me, how is my father?" I know my exile to the forest must have brought his heart immense pain. How is his health? With his head bent low, Bharat explained the death of Dasarath. Not able to bear the thought of you and beloved Sita living in the horrible jungles of Dandakaranya, he has given up his life chanting your holy names. Lord Ram fell unconscious. Rama is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All spirit souls are emanating from him. When he appeared as Krishna, he spoke Bhagavad Gita and told Arjuna, the wise lament neither for the living or the dead. Give up your weak-heartedness and fight. So why is he crying over the death of his father? This is a mystery that very few can understand. One can only comprehend the Leela of the Lord when one receives the mercy of the Lord, which comes through his devotees. Lord Sri Ram was playing the role of a human being to teach us perfect behavior. But he always remains the supreme truth. And also, Lord Sri Ram loves his devotees more than he loves his own life. That is the nature of love. Love is never selfish. Love is selfless. Love is the complete giving of oneself for those who you love. That is real love. So how the Lord loves his devotees. When Krishna was living in Dwarka Dham, there was a meeting with Rukmini, Satyabhama, and other queens. And they were sharing their experiences of Dwarkadish Krishna. Sometimes at night, Satyabhama said, he just weeps. Krishna weeps, chanting the names of the gopas and the gopis. And Rukmini said, why you say night? Sometimes even in the day, he just goes into a daze and starts crying, chanting the names of gopas and gopis. Because the Lord loves his devotees. The Lord's love is the source of all love. Krishna, Ramchandra, is the object of everyone's love. But how he reciprocates? By giving his love. So in separation from this great devotee who was playing the role of his own father, Sri Ram was overcome with grief. When he came back to consciousness, he dutifully went with Lakshmana and performed the last rites of the father at Mandakini Ganga by offering oblations. Then Lord Ramchandra said, now, Bharat, you must return to Ayodhya. I give you all my blessings. I know that you had nothing to do with your mother's plan to exile me. Your heart is pure. You love me more than your own life. I perfectly know this. But it is our father's desire that you be king. So I give heartfelt blessings. You go back to Ayodhya and rule the citizens and make them happy. Bharat pleaded, I cannot. How could I be king? That is your position. It is like a donkey trying to dance like a trained horse. It is like a crow trying to take the position of a swan. I have no qualification. According to the great tradition and heritage of the Ikshvaku dynasty, it has always been the eldest son that sits on the throne when the king is deceased. It is your throne, Ram. All of the citizens, everyone has come to beg you to return. At that time, all the citizens had arrived. Kausalya embraced Sita with such affection. Even Kaikeyi, seeing what she had done and understanding the consequences, became completely overcome with grief, begging for forgiveness. Everyone pleaded, Ram, return. Kausalya was begging him to return. Kaikeyi was begging him to return. Sumitra, the mother of Shatrughna and Lakshman. Vashishtha Muni, the leading of all priests, explained to him philosophically and shastrically how it was perfectly justified for him to return, how it was not offense to his father, how it was the highest religious principle for him to return and be king. Everyone. And Bharat, he said to Sri Ram, that if someone must be in this forest, it will be me. I will wear tree bark, I will mat my hair, and I will stay in your cottage for the next 14 years. You return. All the coronation paraphernalia has been brought here to Chitrakoot to make you the king. Lord Ramchandra was deeply moved in his heart to see the selfless service of Bharat. This is integrity. This is actual determination. Sometimes we become distracted by little things. But Bharat, he could never be distracted from the principle that I am the servant and Ram is my master. Hanumanji, another great devotee of Lord Ram, he appeared in Lord Chaitanya's Leela as Murari Gupta. During the Sat Praharia Leela, Lord Chaitanya revealed himself as Ram to Murari Gupta. He stood before him with a beautiful form, the complexion of Durva grass. He was holding a golden bow and arrows on his quiver. Beside him was Sita and Lakshman. And Murari Gupta, astonished, took note that he had become a monkey. Lord Ram ordered Murari Gupta, you are Hanuman, you are my eternal servant. Now you ask for a benediction, anything. Murari Gupta said, I'm seeing your darshan. What more could I want? I don't want anything, nothing. No, you must ask for a benediction. I will only be happy when you ask for a benediction. If it makes you happy, let this benediction be mine. Birth after birth after birth, let me always be in the association of your devotees. That devotee who always sees you as the master and always thinks himself as servant, eternally. Not that kind of devotee who sees you master, and then when he becomes liberated, he takes your position of God. I don't want that association. That servant who sees you eternally as master and serves you eternally, let me always be in their association. Bharat was being offered the position of the king of the world.